Open our eyes, O Lord, that we might behold thy glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a great joy and a privilege to be back here amongst you in this wonderful parish, and I bring greetings to you from my parish of St. Matthew's in the heart of Westminster in London. And our parishes joined together in friendship as sister parishes, and it's a great joy indeed for me to be with you here today. There are plenty of people around who will tell you exactly what God wants you to do with your life. They will tell you how to behave, they will tell you what to believe, they will tell you how to do it. But what I love about the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ teaches us in a completely different way to anything like that. Jesus does not give us a rigid rule. He talks about the kingdom of God and demonstrates a new way of living and about how change is possible for everyone. And he does this primarily in two distinct ways. Firstly, through telling stories, we call them parables, little vignettes where people can identify with characters, and through the story they learn something about the kingdom of God. The other way he teaches is through the miracles. Now this can be harder to understand. The miracles recorded in the Gospels can be puzzling. And there are those around today who say, well, if you have enough faith, you can do the same kind of thing. You can perform miracles today if you have enough faith. But what are miracles all about? In today's Gospel, we encounter one of the most well-known of the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000. Hugely important story in the Gospel account. Some years ago, I was crossing Westminster Bridge, and I saw, looking down from the bridge, a man walking on the water. And I thought, this is strange. But there he was, walking on the water. This man was called Stephen Fray. He's a magician in England, rather like your David Blaine, I think he's called over here. And a large crowd of people were looking down from the bridge at this extraordinary sight of the man supposedly walking across the river on water. It was a very beautiful sight to see. And eventually the police took him away. He was right very close to the House of Parliament. But I've thought about that ever since, for some years, thinking, how did he do it? How did he do it? And if you look online, you'll find all sorts of theories about how it was done. And that's how some people approach miracles. How did he do it? That, I suggest to you, is actually not the way we should approach miracles. The miracles actually have a deeper truth. And there are two things I want to draw out of today's Gospel for you. So John, in this Gospel here, talks a lot about Jesus as the bread of life. So John's Gospel is the one Gospel which doesn't include a record of the Last Supper. The Last Supper was found in this teaching about Jesus being the bread of life. And this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, is in a sense part of that understanding of what the Eucharist is. The disciples were with Jesus in a deserted place. They had a very busy time, and they were having some downtime, as we would say. The sun was setting. And a large crowd suddenly appeared from nowhere. These are people who were very keen to follow Jesus and find out what was going on. They were people who experienced FOMO. Do you know what FOMO means? Fear of missing out. They were people saying, "Look, there's a band over there, we've got to go to it." And so they did. And the disciples, who were exhausted by this point, they said to Jesus, "Can't you send them away? We just can't be doing it."
But Jesus says, go find him some food. And they think, well, he's gone too far. There's 5,000. And all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fish. So what happens? Jesus tells the people to sit down. He blesses the bread and the fish and then has it distributed to all these people. And all ate and were filled. Now that's a wonderful story about how God provides with generosity and largesse. If we concentrate on how it's done, we'll miss the whole point of it. But what the disciples were learning was that here is God who will never forget the people around him. These are people who were keen to understand what Jesus was saying. And Jesus said, come, and I will bless you. That kind of teaching takes time. It's a kind of understanding that grows as truth is experienced rather than proclaimed too clearly. So, what about us? Well, I want to suggest to you that there are two things here that really interest me in our reading. The first is a little detail that's often overlooked at the end of the reading, the end of the account of the feeding of the 5,000. Sort of coda, if you like, to the story. It says, when they were all satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost. Gather up the fragments. I think this line resonates with me very deeply. A fragment is, by definition, a small, broken part, something incomplete. Fragments are the invisible slivers that cut our fingers while we're cleaning up broken glass. They are the fleeting memories of dreams that shed light on our worries. Fragments are pieces of pottery in a museum, remnants of ancient history, shattered by conflict. Our lives are full of fragments, pieces that we hope try to hold together meaningfully. The endless tasks of daily life, juggling around too many opportunities, our anxieties, worrying about friends in trouble, our hopes around a dream, and the disappointment when dreams die. Our lives are full of fragments. And Jesus says, gather up the fragments. Jesus tells us to gather the fragments together and not to lose them. The disciples gather up the fragments and they fill 12 baskets. And this is a really wonderful sign that in the kingdom of God, nothing is ever wasted. Nothing is ever lost. And what seems broken and trivial and confusing can be redeemed. Nothing is beyond redemption. Nothing in your life and nothing in mine. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The disciples' act of gathering the leftovers is a powerful metaphor for our own lives. It encourages us, I think, to pay attention to the details, to cherish the small moments, for it's in the small moments that we can perhaps begin to understand how the kingdom of God breaks through into our lives. It's in those small moments, those small fragments of life, that we can see God at work. The 12 baskets of leftovers symbolize abundance, not just for the individuals present, but for the community as a whole. When we gather the fragments together, we're called and encouraged to share them with others, to create a space where everybody's fragments can come together and form a complete picture. And that gathering together of the fragments is what we call the church, the body of Christ. bringing ourselves and our fragments together, we form something greater than the sum of our parts. This is the essence of what the church is all about. A community where all are welcome, where every piece is valued, and where together we find wholeness. The second point in my sermon, just remember two points. First of all, fragments. The second point is a beautiful verse right at the end when Jesus said to them, he said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Did you know that the phrase, do not be afraid, is the most popular phrase in the Bible? Because 365 times, once every day of the year, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Have no fear. That clear call of Christ, do not be afraid, is something which speaks to us about our complex, fragmented lives. When the fragments come together, there is something beautiful. And Jesus says to you and to me, do not be afraid. So let us recognize the beauty in each of our lives, in each of our fragmented lives, no matter how small or how broken those lives are. And let us bring those parts together, sharing our experiences and supporting one another. In doing so, we will discover what the disciples discovered. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. In the name of the Father, the Son,